All right, folks, we are back on the flagstick.com Tea Talk podcast. Stefan Tiedorf here with my co-host, Scott McLeod. Scotty, how are you?
Well, I'm not in Florida for the PGA show. That's what I am.
Yeah, weather looks all right in Florida. It looks great in California. Like, it looks looks good.
I don't know. The demo day at the PGA show was not only a ghost town, but yeah, there was pretty poor weather too. So, which seems to be a tradition every year there. The demo days, you know, as long as they've had them. I don't know if there's maybe been one or two that had really nice days. Otherwise, I mean, windy, tents flying, winter coats. I've seen it all there for that. So I'm not sad I'm not there this week. It doesn't look like there's a lot of people there, not a lot of manufacturers there as well, but certainly getting a lot of the product news coming in anyways.
The weather's made me look, it's like I want to get out, I want to go. I thought about I got the email for the Caddy Master for next week at the AT&T, and there's some potential opportunities to go caddy for some of the AMs. It's like, that sounds pretty nice, but do I really want to go over there? And you know, you'd have to spend some of your own money to caddy for an AM to get to California. But
plus, it's a lot of money to stay in that area. And
yeah, well, that was the other thing.
That area as well, you know, Northern California, it can plummet. You know, it can look like it's beautiful, and next thing you know, I mean, it's not going to be as cold as it is here in Canada, but it certainly can get some cool, nasty weather there in Pebble Beach and Carmel on the Monterey Peninsula.
Right now, where we are in Ontario, like, you're walking the dog, and the snowbanks beside the sidewalk are taller than I am. Like, where? Why do I live here? Like, I literally said that to myself. My face is cold.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's snow everywhere. I can't do anything. Like, why do I live here? Like,
it always boggled my mind. I mean, and I guess to a point we can do that a little bit in Canada if you want to go to, you know, say BC or whatever, and, you know, Victoria. But I'd always laugh at, you know, my American friends and cousins and wonder why they live in the northern states when they can move south, especially though. And hey, you know what? Some people like the cold weather. You know, they like to ski, they like to do a lot of things. But for the ones that I go and, you know, maybe I talk to at Christmas or something like that, a family member, and they're ones that hate winter, I'm like, you have a choice. You know, you can change that.
and like, isn't the real estate more expensive up north than it is in like Florida, Arizona?
Generally, you know, like in the northeast Vegas, for sure,
other than California, basically, right? Like, it's I don't get that. If there was a way to, I my goal next year is to go down south. I need to be there for like 3 years. I need to be a snowboard in my 30s.
Is that the dream? I think it's possible. I mean, with remote work the way it is these days or whatever, I think it's more possible than ever, really.
Yeah, it is, but we'll see. Maybe next year. I know we're already chatting, me and a couple guys going back to Arizona. It's been 3 years somehow since we went down. But when we go, if we go in January next year, but that's the plan. Go down, get some golf in, enjoy some nice Arizona weather. And who knows? Who knows when golf season's starting? But you're opening up your the cave again soon. Ontario's allowing that. So lessons are going to be starting again soon.
Yeah, talking to a lot of the indoor places around the province, obviously they're pretty excited to get back open. And I'm obviously miss a lot of my students as well. I mean, you know, you can only do certain amount of things virtually. So it's nice to be able to get back and start teaching again, you know, obviously with a certain amount of caution as well. And hopefully it continues right into the springtime, just to not interrupt, you know, their practice. It's pretty hard to train and all of a sudden have a lot of interruptions. And, you know, frankly, I think we've had 4 of them now, and, you know, it's pretty difficult. So
let's leave it at 4. Let's just like move. Let's enough, no more interruptions. Let's just go. Enough with that. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting back as well and seeing you in person, maybe do a podcast in person. The last time we tried. We had to bail the minute of, but hey, for safety. Or something.
You got it.
All right. Why don't we hit the week that was? We got a pretty fun podcast this week. A little bit of a different interview with a comedian that's just really getting into golf. So we'll get to that later when we chat with Jake Triplett. But let's talk about the week that was in golf, Scotty. What's your birdie, your par, your bogey, and your honorable mention for the week? We do this every single week. Let's start off with some birdies. Let's start high. Let's start on our high note. So what's your birdie for the week?
Yeah, it's been a busy one for sure. So a lot to sift through. But I think the new sponsor for the development tour for the LPGA, Epson, took over from Symetra, and that was just announced today. We're recording a little later this week. Epson took over, and the exciting part there is not the fact that it's another corporation stepping in and wanting to be the sponsor. It's the message and the tone and the structure of what they're doing. And one of the biggest things that they want to do, and they recognize as a corporation, is they really want to help the women that play this tour sustain their careers. And the biggest way to do that is to help them out a little bit more financially, and not by just making the purses better, which they're doing. They're making the minimum purses $200,000 for the events on the Symetra Tour. What they're also doing as well is they're reducing entry fees, which is super significant, especially for, you know, the players that play there. And as they said, you know, they're putting money back into those players' pockets that they can use for their other expenses, their hotels and whatever, and not to have to pay the high entry fees. So they're reducing it. I don't know the exact amount, but they want to work towards having no entry fees for those players that are eligible for that tour.
Thinking.
It is really forward thinking. And I think that's, I think that's a better model. And I think that's, you know, that's a combination of a couple of things. It's obviously a combination of what the tour is looking at. They're listening to their members, hearing what their issues were and are, and, you know, matching that up with a sponsor that's willing to jump in and see that long-term vision. And, you know, I tweeted about it earlier and just said, hey, you know what? I've seen so many players over the years where the money runs out before the talent does. And that's the hardest part to see in professional sports, is you see all these players that could, you know, that could potentially make it. And I get it. You know, everybody talks about golf being a meritocracy, and play better is their term. But you know what? Every sport in the world needs time to develop as an athlete if you're going to play professionally. Not everybody is, you know, hot out of the gates. So, you know, having these opportunities for these players to maybe sustain themselves on the tour, to maybe to get those one or two or three or four extra starts that make the difference, that keep them out there, I think it's impressive. I think it's admirable for Epson to do that, and the LPGA as well.
Yeah, and I hope it's something that continues, right? I think
for sure.
I think it's easy to do for a year, and then it's like,
well, they have a 5-year deal just to start.
I understand they got a 5-year deal, but like, you know, after year one, you know, we're kind of burning cash here, right? Like, is it going to continue at that way? Now, I think the best thing is this lack of entry fees. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much of that, and Ryan, like, I'm not going to talk about it because Ryan French does a great job about that, you know, where like you look at Monday qualifiers that are just insane entry fees, especially even like for members that are still have to, like, there's certain members that still have to pay. It's that stuff never really made sense to me. Like, I would think 9 players out of 10 would rather you take it off the purse even, right? Yeah. Like if that's like, just so you can cut costs just to get there, because, you know, an entry fee could stop somebody from even getting there. Now there's another whole element to that. Now, nobody ever said golf was cheap.
No.
Nobody ever said going in professional golf was cheap, but this is definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, they're going to go, they're going to reduce it from 500 to 250 right away.
Another aspect, I was not expecting that big. That's huge.
Yeah. And the other aspect of it as well is the graduates from the tour, they're also going to give each of those graduates $10,000 to help them as they move up to the LPGA tour as well. So they're definitely putting some thoughts into this as well, of what they want to do with it long-term. So, you know, that would be amazing if they could get it to the point where, you know, those entry fees are reduced even more. It's fantastic, really.
Like, I did not realize they were that high. $500 per tournament is insane. Now, like, just think about that. So, like, you know, you look at somebody, you know, finished 100th on the money list last year, right? Like, they play 17 tournaments. That's
It's like that's huge part of their budget, right?
They made $7,500 Sujin Lee last year,
and that's just on that tour. I mean, I know players, for an example, that have finished. You know, I can remember a particular player. I won't say her name or anything, but you know, I remember a year she finished 92nd on the LPGA tour list, And, you know, she was working at a golf store in the wintertime. I mean, she had to. I know another one that was back, you know, basically between tournaments at their parents' golf course, helping out there. And they were an LPGA card carrying member, you know, of the tour. So, I mean, that's at that level, let alone, you know, the feeder tours. So you can imagine, I mean, and we've seen it, you know, we've had people on here, Britt Marchand, for an example, who, you know, obviously after a while made the decision that, you know, it wasn't worthwhile to stay out there. It's really hard. And, you know, it's hard mentally to sit there and, you know, keep grinding when the returns are so little.
Yeah. It's, I mean, at the end of the day, not a lot of people are going to feel bad for you for the choice that you're making. If it's like, hey, if you're burning money, you're not getting anywhere, like make the best choice for you.
Right.
Right. Like, but at the same time, if you're on the top feeder tour for your particular sport, especially in golf, like you should be able to make a living regardless. But you know, that's a whole other discussion. We've gone down that road. Let's move on. I want to stay positive for mine. I gave a birdie this week to the AT&T, which is happening next week. And you would be shocked because I hate this tournament. I'm going to write an article. So I've been writing these articles that come out each week. Five things I'll be watching for at the particular tournament. I did one for this week, did one for the last couple of weeks. I think next week I'm gonna write five reasons I'm not watching the AT&T, but I think I need to watch this now because our guy Mark Baldwin got a sponsorship.
So you're just gonna write an apology letter to the AT&T or no?
Yeah, maybe. Really. I should thank them for that. But yeah, he's getting in the field, you know, a grinder through and through. Yeah. Never really had status on PGA tours, had status on the Korn Ferry tour.
Yep. Been a guest and a special co-host on this show.
Yes, special co-host, great guy. You know, I was texting him, congratulating him on this. But like, that's awesome. And then just the whole, like everything the Fire Pit Collective have been doing lately has just been great. Like from the Caddy Network podcast, I just listened to one with Steve Halka. Like that one was great too. Like all their podcasts, all the stories, right? Everything they're doing is just, it's just been awesome. I'm really liking it. It's good vibes over at the Fire Pit Collective. But fun little story. I don't know if you saw. So Mark Baldwin's getting in the tournament. Ryan French, who we've had on here many of times, usually caddies for him in these tournaments. And he is going to caddy with him in this tournament. But Ryan has been dealing with what he has already said publicly, hemorrhoids. And he's supposed to have surgery for this. And he's in pain. And he told me he's on his couch. He hasn't got off his couch in 3 days. And he's talking about going out and still carrying. I have no idea how he's going to do it. I think Preparation H needs to sponsor him for the week. But just a grinder. He's like, you know, they'll have to carry me off the course. God. Yeah. I'm caddying at Pebble Beach. Because I was joking. If he goes down, I'll be on the next flight to get there. So I'm looking forward to both of them. This is a well done thing. And I truly believe without somebody like Ryan French making selfless stories on his Twitter account that had 500 followers 3-4 years ago, none of this would have happened. So awesome.
No, probably not. And you know, there's a lot of work there too by, you know, Alan Shipnick, who's involved with the Fire Pit Collective, who's a Monterey guy, and obviously Matt Janella as well. And you know, you're right, what they're doing is well-intentioned. It's not about making the dollar, it's about making a difference. And as a result of that, you're seeing what the uptake is on their content and the mission of doing things. So yeah, kudos to them as well, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. You know what? I'm going to take my bogey for the week.
All right, sure.
And because it kind of related to what I just said. So I'm giving a bogey to this 3-stretch run of tournaments on the PGA Tour. Last week we had the American Express. We're at, what are we at this week? The Farmers Insurance this week, and next week's the AT&T. And the reason why I'm giving a bogey is I hate tournaments with multiple golf courses. Last week, what do we have? Three golf courses. Yeah. This week, we have...
You'd hate them more if you were a rookie on the PGA Tour, I'll tell you.
Or I hate them even more for a rookie caddy out on the PGA Tour that's never seen them. Can't really reference these old books because they don't have them. Like, I don't know how they're getting all the work. And that's my thought really is like for next week. I'm not like, I expect next week, not a first year player to come out and have a great week, but like a second year player where you know, they come out of those shadows of the celebrities and everything. They're a little bit more prepared for three turns. I can't get in a feel of where people are. There's so much luck involved of like, oh, I got the easy
course. What the rotation is.
There's too much luck involved. I get why they do it, but like, Pebble Beach, Cypress, and the third one that is drawing a blank of what they play next week. You're leaving me hanging here.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The other one, Peninsula,
Monterey, yada, Peninsula, yada. Club.
Thank you. Like all three of those deserve their own. Like they don't need to be jam packed into this nonsense tournament. I don't like this stretch. There's great golf courses throughout the stretch, but unfortunately it's just no feel. There's no feel about it.
Yeah, it's hard when you have the pro-ams, and obviously that's a big part of the component for the sponsors in there. And you're right, as a spectator as well. I mean, I was talking to a couple of people in the industry today who are following different players, and there's no shot tracker on the other golf course, so they can't really see that. I mean, so it's harder as a spectator to see that. And you think about the expense too early in the year for these players, because what generally happens for a lot of the rookies is they have to go in after they get their card secured, and they know they will go in advance. So before guys were going to Hawaii, they were going to Palm Springs. They were going up to Pebble Beach to play the golf courses, because when the tournament week comes, especially, even two golf courses this week of the Wednesday start, they've got to go in and get those practice rounds beforehand. So they can't do them during the week because they just don't have the opportunity. So they've got to spend more money and more trips. And for an example, Adam Svensson, who obviously had Tim Tucker on the bag, that was his trial with Tim Tucker. They went to the desert before they went to Hawaii, and they played in Palm Springs for a couple of days with him as a caddy. There's that expense for them as well. So yeah, there's some inconvenience that goes with that, but then again, they are playing for millions of dollars too. So
yeah, I guess there's that.
It's harder for the spectator too. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Pebble Beach. I want it to be, I've said this every year, the AT&T was great last year. It was great because there was nobody, no silliness. But like even the three stretch run, now we're on the seventh hole. Now we're on the seventh hole. For somebody that isn't like the casual golf fan that doesn't know that, right? Like, they're just so confused. And then why is Bill Murray on the screen? I'm not getting into that yet.
I get it. But, on that same vein, too, I had a lot of people that were, really upset on the weekend watching the LPGA and saying, here's these celebrities and blah, 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 blah. Guess what? This started as a celebrity tournament. And, frankly, they wouldn't have had this tournament if that part didn't existed. So. So, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, I had a player years ago, I remember telling me that, and they said, if a sponsor is going to put up $1 million purse, which now that event, for an example, is 1.5, I'd go to their house and wash their dishes. So,
For a lot less than 1.5.
We've got to think of it this way. We can't be selfish. We have to be grateful. We have to understand that, some of these events wouldn't happen if those pro-ams didn't happen. We want what we want for sure. But unfortunately, there's compromises.
That's fair. All right. What's your bogey for the week?
Bogey of the week for me, over on the DP World Tour, the European Tour, Tyrrell Hatton, man, like the guy, love his emotion and stuff like that. But you know what? His bitching about the 18th hole at Yas Links and the fact that this par five, which, he played horribly, which I'm sure he wouldn't have these comments if he, played it in 4 under par for the week. Basically, he said about this par five, it shouldn't have a bunker in the middle of the fairway. It shouldn't be over 600 yards from a forward tee. If you hit a good drive as a pro, you should have at least a chance to go for the green in two. Otherwise, the hole becomes a par three after the first two shots, and that's if you play well. Hardly anyone will get there in two today. I can't remember the last time I got a 9, which is what he scored on the last day. I certainly haven't had one that I recall as a pro. I was probably 14 about the last time that it happened. Okay, here's the problem. All right, I get it. That he wants to be able to go for it in two. There's no guarantee of that. It's a par five. A quality design in a par five, it's there to test a certain aspect of your game. That means testing you off the tee, which this does with that centered bunker as far as hitting that shot. Then that second shot, yes, if you can't go for the green or whatever, you've got to play across water again against the angle of the fairway, and then you've got to hit it into the right spot to have a good angle into the green that has a lot of slope to it. It's there to challenge your game in a different way. Otherwise, just have all par fours or all par threes. Variety is important, and just because it's a par five does not guarantee you're going to get there in two. It's there to challenge you with three shots approaching the hole, not just two.
I agree with you, But what I will agree with on Terrell's side is that this hole is fine. It's a terrible finishing hole, in my opinion. I watched a lot of the event, I just knew it, like a guy was two back on 18,
yeah,
and he hits a good drive, and it's like,
yeah, he's not going to
get. There was no excitement.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. What I'm saying is that, you know, the hole and a par five as it is, in general, it's not wrong. Where it's wrong is positioned where it is on the golf course for excitement or drama in the tournament. Totally. If that's what if that was his issue, that's perfectly fine. That clearly was not his issue. So you know what? Yeah. Move it, have it in a different spot in the golf course. Maybe that's the mistake more than anything.
Yeah. I watched it the final round, basically most of it that morning, and the back nine for the most part, and shout out to Thomas Peters for getting it done. But like, you know, guys were always in the same spot, like behind that knoll on their second shot or up on that like hill in their second shot. And it was just kind of boring again from an entertainment standpoint. I don't think Terrell's even speaking from that standpoint. No. It looks like a tough hole. I don't want to play it. I thought 646 is insane, but there's been 646 yard holes that they've hit in two, too. Like,
sure,
you know, elevation, everything plays a big part. I don't know. I don't think it's a terrible hole. It's just whereas you kind of highlighted where it stands. Sure, maybe you have a point. And kind of in line with where my par is this week is where, you know, you're giving it a bogey. I'm just kind of giving John Rahm's comments that he was caught on like a cell phone camera not being too happy, to say the least, with the conditions out at the American Express. I think he was playing the Nicklaus course at the time. And maybe this was to counter the fact that we have these three different golf courses and like, let's try to balance the competitiveness. So if we make all three setups easy, then they're, you know, I don't know. And he said, you know, stupid setup. But like, I gave John Rump credit on this podcast, I believe 2-3 weeks ago, being like, this guy can do it on all the setups, like easy, hard, everything in between. Why does it need to be a certain type of setup? Again, I think maybe I'll giving it a par because it's like, I think there's more to the comments. And for me, I don't love the setup of the three courses. It was a guy walking by some people after, I believe, a bogey on a hole or something silly on a hole that he didn't like. He runs hot. I think it's a non-story more than anything, and just kind of shows that, you know, there's always a hot mic out there these days on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you hate the fact that you make a birdie and it's easy for someone else to make a birdie and you don't feel like you're getting any competitive advantage. It's not a case of, you know, there's partial strokes that are there where you can gain an advantage that way. So I'd be right there with you as far as that par. I mean, you know, as I said last week, we can't have all the courses and all the setups exactly the same. So sometimes it's not going to suit you. If he's upset because he thinks it's a putting contest, well, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that
contest.
Yeah, but that's fine. If he doesn't feel that's his suit, but maybe he has to play the tournament or it fits into his schedule, that's fine too. So he's not wrong for his comments for sure. And in fact, he didn't walk them back at all at the press conference afterwards, which is perfectly fine, as he should. There's nothing to apologize there for.
I've never heard John Rahm take anything back before. No, like one of the only few where he doesn't backtrack on things, or question it. I think that's the easiest way, is just don't play it next year if you're allowed to. I don't know why you know, it's a weird stretch for him to be playing these two. I understand coming to Torrey, he's shown he can play well at Torrey, but you know, a lot of those are outside of his own control with sponsors.
He didn't go over to Europe. I don't know who he was playing with in the Pro-Am. There's a million different nuances that we never hear about, and the corporate reasonings why they might be there or whatever. So on that same tournament though, my par, you know, a guy who's a big hitter that a lot of people were paying attention to, James Hart Dupree, the South African, who managed to bat a couple of balls 406 yards during this tournament. I'm giving it a par because I was interested to see how this guy was going to play on this tour, given that, you know, he had averaged over 370 yards on the Sunshine Tour last year.
That's like, just, I know, just quickly, it's, like, I know, that is insane.
Now, that's an elevation in South Africa. And he said, you know, the farthest he's hit a ball not at elevation was about 435. He's hit some 475 at elevation.
I mean, he is 6'9".
He is 6'9". Like, yeah.
He's got, he's a literal foot taller than me.
Oh, it's insane. So, yeah. I mean, he's a big man, that's for sure. So it was cool to see. Unfortunately, he shot plus seven, missed the cut, but he did beat Phil by one. So obviously he can play. He's got some ability. It'll be neat to see him, you know, maybe get his feet wet a little bit more and have some more opportunities to get out and play in the States. Just another element for entertainment.
Is Phil in the field this week?
Yeah, he was struggling. Actually, he just made a putt the last time I saw. But
yes, yeah, we are recording this as the tournament's gone on. We have already made our picks prior.
Yes.
Once we get to that after our interview. But I literally wrote about that. It's like, we got to watch out for Phil early in the season. Like, if he comes out hot, he comes out hot. Yeah. It doesn't look like he's been coming out hot so far to start the year. So I'm kind of expecting more of the same of last year, minus a major championship.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good for him to be home. And, you know, I think they've got a birthday party for his nephew tonight or stuff like that. Fun. All sorts of thing or whatever.
Riveting.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure he'll be talking about it on the broadcast. And anything,
like,
so.
Like, how do those stories come out? Oh, I'm up here, got a, you know, birthday party. Like, cool. Hi. Phil. That's great. Yeah. My honorable mention for the week goes to Bryce. And like, he's gotten, I'm giving him a four, not like the number, but FORE. And it's literally about his comments about him not yelling four, as he's gotten a hard time on this. And I guess he was on the Rick Shields golf show talking about this, and TLDR, he's saying, like, you know, what's the point? Like, they're not going to hear me say it. Like, I don't need to say it when it might come near them. You know, it's potentially more harmful for people to move and walk in the direction of the golf ball. It's like, everything this guy does just lacks complete self-awareness. It's always defensive. It's always, he needs to defend himself. Why can't you say, you know what, I'm wrong, I'm just going to yell for
going just go ahead
forward
and say it. Yeah.
Like, why does that matter? Yeah. Like why, like, that's everything that this guy does is it's, I mean,
that's like saying to somebody, you know, oh, it'd be nice if you'd open the door for somebody that's walking behind you. Well, they're going to open the door anyway. So,
and what if I open the door and it hits them in the face?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Then you apologize at that point.
All it is showing, it's showing that you are looking outward beyond yourself.
I get that, like, this guy's been given everything as he's gone along in his life, and that, like, they're, you know, pro athletes, they're gonna mature at a very slower rate, because, like, for most of the time, because, like, no one's there to tell them no on these things. He's probably been that way, and, like, he hasn't had to learn how to just, like, take responsibility for his actions and being able to speak to that, and, you know, where maybe somebody else at that age of, he's almost 30 at this point, might actually start, you know, realizing these things. And it just feels like every single year it's the same thing with Bryson, that he's still that 22-year-old kid out there on the PGA Tour. I will give him credit that he's done with the silly hat finally, so that's cool, I guess. But, like, Bryson, all people are saying is just yell four, set a good example, move on. Like, his whole comment of, like, where he said that bugged me the most is, like, most of the time when we hit shots, if we don't think it's going to get there, there's really no reason to say anything. And most guys on tour don't. Okay. So if I'm hitting a ball and it's going to hit this house, but I don't think it's going to get there, so I just didn't yell, and now it smashes the window and hits somebody. Yeah. And that's like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't think it was going to get there.
Right.
It's like, oh, so your intent. Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
why guy, everything.
Yeah. It's easy. It's easier just to get out ahead of it, isn't it?
or just think so. You know, admit you're wrong for one time in your life. You'll learn a little bit about yourself that way. So give him a 4 for my honorable mention, but we want to be positive. We want to have fun time on this podcast. So let's end it with something positive here, Scotty.
Yeah. My honorable mention was something I just talked about a little bit. Just a birdie of those golf fans that, you know, didn't complain about the celebrities being involved with this event on the weekend with the LPGA. I mean, I saw tons of people, and I get it. There was people that were upset about, you know, the coverage of Brooke Henderson and so forth. And but people have to understand in the whole scheme of the broadcast, there's a reason they come in and pay attention to the celebrities really early, then get to the meat of the tournament, get to all the players. Those players are done. Then the celebrities are still left over. They have to pay attention to them. As I mentioned, you know, this event started in 2014 as a celebrity tournament with the Champions Tour. The sponsor was gracious enough to flip it over in 2019 and make it an LPGA Tour event, when previously the LPGA would start in the Bahamas. They basically, the players would be sitting around with no chance to make money for a while. They moved this purse up from 1.2 to 1.5 million this year. It's still a limited field. But the fact they're tolerant of it. They're happy with it. The players are happy with it. Yeah. You know what? Would it be nice to have more TV coverage of Brooke Henderson and less of whoever? Sure. That's fine. But that comes part and parcel with it. So the people that sort of understood that, didn't bitch about it and complain, that took the time to look at that and understand what was happening, kudos to them. Honorable mention, birdie for them.
Yeah, shout out to Brooke too. Great start with a pretty big change, switching the golf ball. A golf ball, like, she has used the Titleist golf ball since she was 3, maybe, like, you know what I mean? Like, now she switched over to the TP5, and then, you know, I know I tweeted out that her driver's shorter, and you tweeted me, and somebody from Ping tweeted me, be like, no, it's not yet. But, you know, like, pretty big change to switch a golf ball, comes out, finishes second. So solid start for Brooke. I think it's a big year for Brooke this year. Shout out to the golf fans. Shout out to Brooke. We didn't get to see a lot of her out there, but hey, great start to the season, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
Why don't we hit our interview for the week, Scotty? This week, I've been listening to this guy on his podcast, many different podcasts, for about a year now. Funny guy, based out of the States, comedian, and he's just really gotten into golf lately. He's an athlete. He'll talk about all the different other sports he's grown up playing, but finally got the golf itch. And I love interviewing people at this stage where it's like, they just love it. And it's like, they're really invested in it. They're just playing a lot, and they might not be great, but they're getting good. We're going to chat about that. We're going to play some games. We're just going to talk about, you know, maybe we'll talk some comedy. Who knows where we're going to take it with Jake, but without further ado, let's get to the interview with Jake Tripper. All right, folks, we'd like to welcome the podcast man you can hear every Monday on his podcast, Ghost Runners. I believe every Wednesday on Correct Opinions with Trey Kennedy. He's currently touring with Trey Kennedy across the United States. And now he's really big into golf all of a sudden. So we're having him on the podcast, Jake Triplett. How are you doing, buddy?
Wow, what an intro. I don't even get an intro like that when I like come on stage or anything. This is amazing. You should travel with us. That was phenomenal. Thank you.
I think you write some pretty good intros. If you haven't, Jake, you should follow Jake on Instagram, and he writes a different intro each week about himself. What is a favorite one that you've written about yourself before running out on stage?
Oh gosh. Well, yeah, that's the thing. I don't really have accolades. So it's not like they can say like, you've seen him on Comedy Central, you know, I have nothing. So I'm just like, well, let me try and think of just something right
you've
now.
You've seen him I've traveled in a limousine across the country to go to the Ellen Show.
That's an accolade, but I was going to say, you've seen him on the pamphlet, Jake Triplett, you know, like,
yeah.
On the tickets.
I just looked through my notes of intros. One of my favorite ones was, you know, please welcome to the stage your next comedian. He sleeps with a baseball bat under his bed just in case someone tries to break in and throw a no-hitter. Jake Triplett.
Not bad.
Wow.
Not bad. I think that's a good,
pretty dumb.
Yeah. I think it's a good transition, though. Like, you grew up playing sports, right? Like, but golf is never one of them. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. I think, you know, I played like, you know, I rode around in the golf cart with my dad a few times in middle school, you know, but not enough. I wasn't being taught how to play. It was just like, come putt, you know. So no, didn't own my first set of clubs until this past June. So pretty fresh into it.
Was that because you looked at golf as being something for other people and not you, or just had no interest?
Other people. No, truly what it was, as I looked ahead at my life, I was like, there's not many sports I can play when I'm 60 or something. So I want to save my like passion for golf until I have nothing else left. Truly. It was like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to play basketball and flag football when I'm 60. So like, let's save golf. That was truly my plan. And then something got a hold of me and I'm like, wow, this is so fun. This is way better than saving it. So yeah, I'm full on obsessed right now.
But you play pickleball like competitively. That is like, that's more old. I don't know. Like when I started listening to your podcast, I don't know, about a year ago now, like I had never heard of anybody in their 20s playing pickleball. Like we have a pickleball court near us. And if you drive by it, it's pure geriatrics. Like I make fun of Scott for being old on this podcast. And like, he would be the youngest person there. So like, clearly there's like a pickleball, you know, boom in the States that we're just not seeing in Southern Ontario.
Really what it is I'm just trying to get a leg up on kind of the retirement community when I get to that age. Like I've put in the work, you know, I'm thinking about making a shuffleboard court, you know, maybe some bocce ball, really anything that you can play in a wheelchair. I want to get good at now.
That makes sense. And now you started golf. Like what got you into golf? Was it Top Golf? Like how did you get into actually going, just suddenly picking up? And now like, is it safe to say you're full blown obsessed with playing?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think it started with the old Topgolf Tuesdays deal here in the States. I don't know when they started doing it. Maybe they've always done it, but it was just like half off on Tuesdays. So it's like, oh, great. This is a cheap way to swing the ball around. And then like anything, I think if you grew up playing sports at all, you do have a desire to like get better at something. So I think that's what I became obsessed with at first. It was just like, I'm seeing these like vast improvements every time I go to Topgolf. Like, this is so fun. And it just kind of reignites a passion for like learning a sport again, because you just don't do that much as an adult. So it's like, wow, there's this whole realm. And I think also I just became obsessed. I was just like, this is the hardest sport. I mean, the ball isn't even moving. And this is so much harder than any sport I've ever played. And so I think I fell in love with just like trying to figure out how to get better at it. And then once you're on a course, I think what I fell in love with is just the variety that you get. Golf is so unique. And like every like 18, you know, whole round you play, I mean, you hit a shot that you've never hit before. It's like, there's no way you could have practiced for this. There's nothing you could have, I don't know, at least that's how I feel. So I love the variety that comes with the game of golf. I think it's so fun.
So are you on the road with golf clubs now? Are they coming with you all the time now?
They are, which is so exciting. Fly Southwest, you know, two free check bags. One of them's the set of golf clubs. And yeah, the winter months have been a little tougher. Like, you know, you always check the, you know, the weather where you're headed, but this next week we're headed down south. So two shows at Texas, Tulsa, Fayetteville. I've already checked the weather. We're looking good. So yeah, golf clubs are definitely coming.
Is that priority one now when you see where you're going?
Yeah. It kind of is. It's like you check the weather pretty early on. It's like, ooh, that could be warm enough. So definitely, especially in this kind of drought, you know, of like, man, I haven't really got to play much golf in the last 2 months since it's been winter. So yeah, I'm dying to play.
There is snow in my driveway up to my neck. And it's been like for 4 months. So like, you have no idea, 2 months is nothing. Scott actually has a full blown simulator in his garage as he's a coach. So he's hitting golf balls every single day.
Oh yeah.
He won't even let me come over right now. So it's like,
oh no, it's all mine, bud.
I haven't hit a golf ball in 2 months. Now you're touring with Trey Kennedy. I think, you know, we'll get into that, but like between the two of you, who's the better golfer? Like, what is it like golfing with Trey, who many people might recognize that name from, you know, Vine fame back in the day, YouTube fame, obviously now. But like, what is it like you two golfing? Who's better? What's the dynamic like out there?
I don't know how much I want to say about each other's golf game.
He wants to stay in
Trey. I think, yeah. Yeah, geez, just asking a guy live on the air what he thinks about
my boss is golf really game. Good Jeez. At golf.
I think Trey would tell you the same thing. I think he would say that I am a little bit more consistent, a little bit better, and
very polite.
Not to say that we can't play, you know, together or anything, but I've just been, you know, I might shoot probably 10 strokes better than him on the course or so, kind of depending on the day. But stuff where it's still fun, and it's, you know, it's not like he's terrible. Like, you know, a couple times around, he's hitting like a phenomenal shot. You know, it's enough to, we are all getting excited. We're all hitting the occasional good shot. So it's fun.
That's what gets it coming back. Let's get into this though. Like, your path into comedy is probably not the normal path, right? And like, why don't you give us a quick breakdown of how you ended up where you are? And I assume like 2 years ago, if we would have told you you're now touring the United States doing stand-up, you wouldn't even believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And because I want to be like a helpful person, you know, when people will come to me like, so how, I want to do what you did. Like, how did you get your start? Like, how'd you do it? I'm like, well, don't do what I did. Probably. I don't know what to tell you, but it's probably not this. Cause straight out of college, I worked in youth ministry, you know, I was basically like a youth pastor for 3 years. So I don't think that's exactly, I would assume that's not how Seinfeld got
us. It helps the golf game too. It's really good for the golf game.
Yeah. At least you got the right bounces on your side, at least, you know, like.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did that for 3 years out of college, and that's kind of where I picked up a camera for the first time, just on the side as like a hobby. And then from there, I did like some content creation stuff. I was in Dallas, Texas. I moved down there to do some YouTube stuff, and it was going well, but I wasn't in the comedy space. And I was like, that would be really fun to find a way to be able to do something comedy related. I don't know. It just sounds fun. I wasn't thinking stand-up comedy by any means, but just like in this day and age, there's so many videos, there's so much going out there. It'd be fun to do something that felt more in my lane and something up my alley. And anyway, I kind of, long story short, I got connected with Trey. I was accidentally put in a group text with Trey because he lived in Kansas City, which is where I did live beforehand. Anyway, they're like, hey, we're doing this. I'm like, okay, I don't live in Kansas City, but thanks for the invite. Clearly we're not that good of friends. If you didn't know, I moved to Dallas 6 months ago. But someone in the group text goes like, Trey, are you coming? So I was like, ooh, okay. Trey is in this group text because I knew he was friends with these people, but he doesn't respond. So I'm like, all right. So then I go digging, I go to Wikipedia and I figure out where Trey is from. I see, oh, Oklahoma City. Okay. 405 area code. And there's two numbers in the group text that have a 405 area code. I call one of them. Thank goodness he answered. He answers his phone. He's like, hey, this is Trey. And so basically from there, I just kind of pitched myself to him. Like, hey, this is who I am. This is kind of what I do. I've been doing videography for a few years. I'd love to move back to Kansas City and help you out or whatever. Took a few more phone calls and a little bit more convincing, but eventually he was like, yeah, let's do it. And so I started off, you know, probably 3.5 years ago, just as like his videographer. I mean, like 5 hours a week, maybe doing some editing. I was doing hardly anything. So to think from there, from that phone call, even from where I was 3.5 years ago to now, I'm like, yeah, I mean, going across the country, performing for like sold out crowds. Like, this is crazy. What in the world happened? This happened so fast.
Shoot your shot, right? Like we're
yeah, sure. That's the story. Yeah.
A good friend of ours this week, next week is going to be playing in the AT&T at Pebble Beach. And it literally came from writing an email to the tournament director and like asking for a sponsor's exemption. Right. And it's like, you never know, right? Shoot your shot. And somebody might find a way to get you into it. And I think that's what you did, but, you know, it definitely is a different path, you know, being like, you know, a YouTube guy, a Vine guy, and now going to stand up, which is, to say the least, not the most open community if you don't kind of come through the ranks. Like, what's that experience been like for you where it's like, I haven't taken the same path? Like, we see this in golf all the time, like similar to our friend Mark's story, right? Where like somebody, you know, might get a lot of money from somebody that they, another person who struggled their way through those developmental tours up to the big tours, you know, they might not be viewed as, you know, as
having earned it.
Yeah. Having earned it. That's a way better way to say it. So like, what's that experience been like in the comedy community?
Well, I mean, yeah, first of all, you nailed it. It is definitely a community of people who are like, yeah, you got to go through the ranks. You got to like, you got to know what it's like to earn your spot up here. And I'm very aware that I've been very spoon-fed this opportunity. I mean, this is insane that I'm getting to do this. And we've met some comedians who they've never openly said like, I don't respect you or anything, but you kind of get that vibe of like, yeah, I don't think they really appreciate what we do. And not to say that we haven't worked hard to build our following on the internet. It's just a different type of hard work. And also, it's probably a healthier type of hard work. I mean, the more I learn about stand-up comedy, it's like, yeah, so basically the way to make it is just go to these open mic nights. It's got to be awful for about the first 5 to 6 years, but go, you know, as much as you can. It's just like, I think the way we did it is probably better on your mental state. So yeah, it's a fascinating industry, and an industry I'm not sure if we've earned to be a part of it or not really like fully part, like one foot in there, one foot in the influencer space. But I would say the majority of comedians we met, though, think it's really cool what we're doing. And they end up being like, hey, can you help me? Like, how do I make a TikTok? Like, what kind of content do you think I should be posting? And we're always happy to help them too, because we're like, yeah, if you're a comedian not posting anything on the internet, that's gonna be very tough these days to book anything. So anyway, it's a fair share of each, but we're very aware of it. We try to get in front of it. Like, look, I know we haven't earned this, but I'm just happy to be here.
What's it like for you, though, going from sort of that social media sphere where feedback comes in a different way versus live, where you've got real people in front of you versus people behind a screen typing whatever crap or blessings or whatever, you know, to you based on whatever you've done in front of them on their screen?
Yeah, that's a really good question, too, because from like an art form perspective or, you know, whatever, stand-up is so much harder than anything else I've ever done, from like, you know, from writing a funny video or doing a podcast. Like, stand up is just like, there's a certain craft to it and there's a certain expectation, right? People have paid $40 or whatever to come sit in the seat for something labeled a comedy show. So they sit down and they go, all right, make me laugh. Their expectation is very high. Whereas, like, you know, you're just making people laugh at a game night or, you know, on a podcast. It's like, oh, that was great. I wasn't expecting much. So that's one big difference. It's just like the bar is so much higher when you're performing live. But at the same time, I find it to be way more fulfilling. You know, when you're, especially in my position, I'm just the opener. I'm just some guy who was, you know, picked up a camera a few years ago and was trying his best. And now I'm entertaining, you know, a room full of people in a city I've never been in with this joke I thought of in the shower 2 weeks ago. I'm like, this is crazy. This is amazing. You know, so it's way more fulfilling to hear that laugh to, you know, 1500 people in a theater means way more than 1 million views, than 1,000 comments. So it's definitely on a different scale, but it's also, yeah, it's not as easy.
Well, there's kind of a parallel to like that in person to playing golf, where golf, it's like, you only have that one shot. You don't know if it's going to work out. You've prepared yourself as much as you can and it might work out, yeah, or it might go, you know, onto the road into somebody's car, right? You really have no idea where it's going. Like, and now you're like, it's funny because what, like, I don't know if playing golf during the day, it sounds like you have a good temperament out there. Like, I don't know how that like doesn't create more stress for you than go on to do a stressful job. It sounds like you're in the right headspace, you're in the right gig, but like, I'm thinking myself, right? Like, if I put all these expectations on my golf game, they don't go well. Now I'm in a bad mood. Now I gotta go play a stage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for me, it's just like knowing I'm not great at golf, my expectations aren't too high. Like, I'm not going to get frustrated if I miss a 4-foot putt. Obviously it is frustrating, but it's like, okay, like, I haven't been doing this that long. Like, Blake, cool. I'll tell you when I get rattled is when there's like a starter who's like there on the tee box with you. And he's like, all right, let's see what you got. I'm like, you can go, why don't you go get eliminated or something? I don't know if you need to be here right now.
There's $2. Go get a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. Played at a couple of courses where they're, you know, they're right there because it's like a busy tee sheet or whatever. And I mean, that's terrifying.
What's the favorite course you played so far?
Ooh, that's fun. You know, we played a course, I don't even remember the name of it, so I guess it didn't stand out.
It was
that
good, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those unnamed ones, I think. No, it was in Sacramento, California, and I'd never been really to Northern California, so I didn't know what to expect, but it was just like this awesome mixture of like what you would imagine the Pacific Northwest and Los Angeles. Like, there were palm trees, but it was like foggy and it was like really dense and green and jungly, and just like the landscape of it was just like, I was performing in like the Amazon rainforest with the occasional palm tree or something. It just like felt really cool. Like, playing in the fog was fun. We were fortunate enough to play this course in Richmond, Virginia at the very beginning of the tour, Royal New Kent.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Were the sheep out?
There's sheep there. No, we didn't get the sheep.
They have sheep that they bring out there occasionally to cut the grass. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's probably good they weren't out there. I would have bladed one with a 7 iron right at the back of the sheep's head. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, I think Trey booked it as like a special treat for us. It's like, guys, I'm excited to say this is like the, you know, Golfer's Digest in 2020 said this is the 16th hardest course in the country. I'm like, dude, we suck at golf. What are you doing? Go play the municipal. This isn't a treat for me. Yeah. There's fairway bunkers, you know, everywhere. This is awful.
Would you find yourself?
It was a cool experience.
Go ahead.
I said, would you fire that day? Do you remember?
Oh gosh. I mean, probably somewhere around 110 or so, if I remember correctly. I want to be generous. I don't want to.
It's a hard golf course around there. It's a hard golf course.
Oh, you got to navigate sheep.
Yeah. And hills and all sorts of things that you know, don't want to be near. That's for sure.
Yeah. That was the beginning of the tour too. So it was rough.
Do you find yourself on the golf course, you know, thinking about your comedy? I mean, is there sort of some sort of serene moments out there where you're thinking about your craft and it gives you some time to do that? Is that part of the experience too, that you're out there for some time thinking about things, or you just go all out? I'm here to kill sheep and that's all it's about.
Yeah, comedy's for the shower.
Yeah. I would love to get to a place in my golf game where I could think about other things, but okay. I feel like right now I have to be so dialed into like what I'm doing that it's like no other thoughts besides the shot at hand. But yeah, someday that would be nice to relax and play golf and think about something else.
So no current golf related jokes in the routine yet?
In the set? I don't think so. I mean, no, I'm sure I've said something on stage before about golf, but no, I don't think there's anything pre-written in the golf realm.
Well, we got a couple coming up. We'll get to them later, Scott. I have written some material. So we'll get to those. You can think about it if you want to do it. But I came up with this game. Excuse me. Okay. I came up with this game, and I got it from a different podcast. Two Bears, One Cave, Tom Segura. Great, funny podcast. Oh, yeah. But they were talking about Karens, right? And like, you know, only Karens have a name, right? You know when someone says this is a Karen, what you're getting. Like somebody that's making a scene, being dramatic. So I thought,
speaking of the manager.
What I thought we could do is we could come up with names for certain type of golfers. I'm going to give examples and all three of us will kind of come to it, like agree on a name for this golfer. Yeah, and then everybody fun. From here will be like, oh, I see that person. That person's being a real Jake, for example.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Stud cool. Golfer.
All right. So our first one, you know, we always have this golfer. Maybe you're this golfer. They always get to the course and they never have tees. They always need to ask somebody for tees or balls, anything. They're always missing something. What are we naming this golfer?
The guy who needs the tees.
I'll start if you want. We've had time to think about it, so it's not really fair. So, I mean, we'll throw ours out and we'll give you some time to think about it. You know what? No offense to our English friends, but I'm going to go a broke limey. Hey, broke limey. And now if you think about that.
Okay. So you're not it? Going like you're.
No.
Let's hear it. Best jokes need to be explained.
A broke limey has no tea, right? English, you know, they have tea all the time. Whatever.
This is the problem with this podcast, Jake. Is
it's not a comedy podcast.
We're a you and I are millennials, Jake, and we're dealing with a boomer here that is trying to go back. You got a better one.
Language barrier here.
Yeah.
Okay. Should have said, has anybody been to England?
Yeah. do you got a better one than a broke limey for a golfer?
Just gonna name him Peter.
Peter does sound like a guy that wouldn't have a tease. Yeah, I'm good with Peter. I was thinking Tommy, no tease, but no, Peter. Peter's like that when it's the hard R and he doesn't go by Pete, you know, he's like a little, he's got like that little bit of annoyance. And yeah, I think Peter's
and it's a fun word to say when you're frustrated because he doesn't have a tease. Peter.
Peter,
you know,
you do this every time, Peter.
Every time, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Word to exclaim.
I obviously don't understand this game. Yeah, but...
All right, I'm going next one. The golfer that like they leave their cart like 50 yards away from the ball, so they're like walking back and forth. They're like they're never where they should be. Do you got a name for the golfer that? Let's hear it.
Yeah, this one's called My Dad.
That's pretty good. Hey, Dad, just call that guy Dad regardless if you know them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just no matter who it is. Hey, Papa, why don't you just drive me to the ball, please? Yeah, I feel like my dad is always just like, he's given me about 30 feet of space and just making me walk to the ball. I'm like, you could pull up 6 inches from it. All right, I'm not that bad of a golfer. Why are we walking this much when we paid for a cart? Yes, that's what I would call him. Is Steve Triplett, my Steve. Dad.
Shout out to Steve. Scott, you go with dad?
Sure, why not? We'll go with that. I was going to go.
You don't have any Scottish slang you're going to throw out for this one?
I was just going to call the guy a center field, but you know, whatever. 50 yards.
Still not getting the game.
Sorry, trying, whatever. I'm on the bench right now.
Yeah. All right. let's go two more. What about the golfer who's always late? They're just never on time. You're waiting for them at the first tee. They're rushing. Their shoes aren't even on. I'm going to go with Daniel. Just like a classic Daniel. This seems like a Daniel would do that. Like, yeah,
there's no logic.
No, it's just like, where did they come up with the name Karen?
Yeah, sure. It's just like the stereotype that you have in your head of like Daniels. It's like, yeah, they do seem like they'd be late. You know,
I'm going to call him a Colbert. He's a late show.
Nice. Still, you guys are going such different routes.
Just not a comedy something. Duo. You got a different idea than Daniel, Jake?
I think I want it to be like a one syllable name. I'm thinking like Blake. He's like, dude, Blake. Like every time, tie your shoes. How are your shoes not tied? So yeah, it would be Blake for me.
Blake definitely wouldn't have his shoes tied up. Scott, I'm not asking you again. All right, one more. The golfer who's always, you know, he's always I'm usually better than this. They claim they're really good, and then you go and play with them, and they're not good. You know, like I'm vibing with like a Brad here. Like a Brad, just like I'm way better usually at this.
Kind of a like Michael in the Office, like the basketball episode. He's like, "What is wrong with me today?" You know, it's just like that guy. It's like, man, I normally sink those bunker shots. I don't know what's going on. You're going with Brad. I mean, yeah, anything in that realm is pretty good. Like the fraternity type persona, like a Chad or a Brad or like Randy. Maybe I'll go with Randy. It's like, that's Randy. He thinks he's way better than he is.
True.
Scott, why don't we wrap it up? What was your idea here?
No.
What was yours?
Yeah, we out of here.
No. I was trying to think of something that's smaller than it should be, like a bonsai. Just, hey, bonsai.
We're just not
clearly I overthink this shit.
This guy probably didn't sleep last night. You just really wanted
hours,
to be right.
Hours.
Can you imagine you walk up to a guy, bonsai. He's like, what? What? Now you got to explain it, right?
Well, then that's the point. You got nothing to explain.
Exactly. That's the point.
I'm like, dude, you're smaller than you should be. It's not your vanity handicap.
Fair enough.
You guys are really getting me excited for the jokes you have written.
Yeah. So that's our next segment. We wrote a couple jokes.
Perfect.
Wow. I don't even know if we should even get Scott to read his at this point. But what's going to happen is we're both going to read you a golf-related joke. Is your golf-related, Scott?
Of course it is.
Okay, golf-related joke. And then you're going to tell us which one you liked more. And then we'll wrap it up and we'll get you out here. And you can shoot some tour dates at us for our American listeners.
Okay, can't wait.
You going first?
No, you can go first. You can go first. I think you need to redeem yourself here.
Can I check my notes?
Yeah, I mean, all right. Sure. Jake uses a teleprompter.
Oh, of course, all the time. I'm sure.
It's very common. Very common.
All right. So this dude is gonna get married, right? And he and his fiance, they're kind of discussing their wedding day and their plans. And she eventually says, "You know what? I want to know what you want to be included in the wedding day." And he's like, "Well, let me think about it." So she's excited because she thinks, yeah, you know, he's into it or whatever. And he's being really thoughtful about their big occasion or whatever. And, you know, kind of a week later, he comes back, says, "You know, honey, I know what I want for a wedding day." She's like all excited. He's thinking, oh, maybe he wants to pick out the cake flavor, or maybe there's somebody he wants to bring to the wedding or some special song or something like that. He says, "No, you know what? I want to play 18 holes on our wedding day, the morning before our ceremony. In fact, I insist it's all about you, really." And she's like, "Why of all things you want to play golf on our wedding day? I hate golf. So why would this be of any benefit to me?" He says, "Well, I want to be able to remember our anniversary every year, and I'm sure I'll never forget the date of the last time I ever played a round of golf."
Not bad. I thought you were going a different direction there.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say like, you
know, needs like a rewrite, but you know,
golf. Who said anything about golf or something? I don't know. I thought that's where we're going. What do you think, Jake? Break it down for us.
Right off the bat, when you said wedding day, then I was thinking, yeah, like the innuendos. We had like an all lip, no hole punchline coming.
See, but I wasn't going to go there.
Thing coming. Yeah. And then, anytime you tell like a 2-minute joke, it better have a pretty good punchline at the end. So that was a lot of build up there.
Sorry.
But no, it really wasn't bad. At least I like knew when the punchline was there. If like it would have been bad, I'm like, yeah, go on. We're like, nope, that was it. So at least I knew when the joke happened. So that's always a good sign.
All right, one star out of five for me.
All right.
No. I'll tell you. I'll rate them after.
All right. All right.
Next joke.
Sounds good.
All right. So here's my joke, and it's definitely a 2 minute joke. Okay. As well. Go grab a drink. Come back. Okay. So a blue jay finishes his round of golf, and he goes to the 19th hole. He goes to the bar in the clubhouse. He sits down next to his buddy, who's an aardvark, and they're at the bar, and he's like, well, how was the round, Blue Jay? And the Blue Jay says, you know, I didn't even want to play today. I was in a bad mood. I shouldn't have came out here. You know, my wife was at home, and she's just been miserable lately. She, you know, she has a really bad bout with shingles right now, and she's taking it out on me, and I don't know why, and I just need to get out of the house, but I was mad, and anytime I play golf mad, it doesn't work out. But I went out on the front nine, and I had the best front nine of my life. I shot even par on the front nine, and I've only ever done that once before. And it was 1998. It was October. It was a beautiful day. And here we are in 2022. And I shot par on the front nine, and I'm feeling great. And I get to the back nine at the turn, and every single shot, I hear this woman, she's laughing. And it's like she's having a party, and she has this horrible Fran Dweller type of laugh, you know, one that just pierces your ears like nails on a chalkboard. And so I go through the ninth hole, and she laughs when I'm going for a putt. I three putt, I bogey, now I'm one over. And I go to the 11th hole, and I go to hit my drive, and right in my top, my backswing, same thing. And this keeps happening over and over every single hole. And I get to the 17th hole, and I'm seven over par, right? And I know, hey, if I just par out, I can break 80. I've only broken 80 two times in my life. The first time was 1998 on that beautiful October day. And the second time was January of 2003. And it was another beautiful day for January in Mississippi, where I lived at that time. And so I get to the 17th hole, and I flush one down the middle, and I get to, I hit my fairway shot, and it's on the green. And I two putt par, and it was silence. I didn't hear this lady, this Fran Dweller laugh in the backswing. So I'm like, oh my God, she's done. She's inside. So there I get to the 18th hole, and this, the both sides of the fairway, there's houses, and I see her, and she's on her patio, and there she's laughing, and she's laughing, and I'm driving nuts. So you know what I do? Aardvark, what do you do? I turn my club head, and I aim right at her, and I hit her with my golf ball straight between the eyes, and I knock her over. And the aardvark's like, what do you mean you did that? Why would you do that? Like, is she gonna sue you? And I said, no, she's not gonna sue me. What do you mean she's not gonna sue you? Like, I'd be furious. Why wasn't she gonna sue you? Of course, she's not gonna sue me, because you can never be mad at a birdie.
Oh my. Oh my.
Wow.
Tail my Norm MacDonald on that. Wow. One.
I mean, the emotions I feel right now, none of them are in the realm of haha.
Of comedy. Of I don't know.
I feel frustrated. I feel betrayed. I feel, no, I'm just kidding. That was fun. I mean, the whole time I'm like, why are they animals? What is the point of any of this?
Or the mundane details that just are very unnecessary. Like,
January 2003, what is this guy doing right now?
All right, so any thoughts on the joke before you break down the winner?
Yeah, I mean, luckily that is you know, on par with a Norm MacDonald joke, who, you know, passed away this year. So I think you do have a little bit of you know, memoriam going there. However, Scott takes the cake.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. I sucked at funny the other man thing, Scott. So.
Yeah, that's well, that's
it's, what all, it's all relative.
Yeah, people are definitely going to say, "Funny man, Scott." I will be surprised if they listen past him trying to answer the first question and name this golfer, or if they've just decided to skip this interview and they're like, "You know what? If I really want to listen to Jake, I can listen to him on his podcast because these two idiots are ruining this for everybody."
Wow, that was a fun little game.
Yeah,
I'll have fun. To use that, you know, on my Canada shows.
There you go. Any plans to ever come up to Canada? I know it's you know, there's it's more difficult to get up here right now. You know, it's hard to travel borders when you're doing these type of things. But have you guys chatted about coming up to Canada at all?
Comedy wise, no. There's nothing in the works right now. But if it works out, I would love to try and come up to like fly up to Calgary, and then I want to go to Banff National Park this summer. If kind of the borders are open and that's allowed, that's something a place I've been wanting to go for years and years now. So we'd love to see it. And
great golf. Bring the clubs if you're doing that.
Oh, no way. Actually, in that area. Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Cool.
Golf in that area.
Well, now I'm even more excited.
That's nowhere near where we are. But if you ever end up in Ontario, we'll make sure to meet up. We'll get a round of golf in. And if we're ever down there, we'll make sure to come and check it for a show. Where are you currently going? Yeah. What's the next couple stops along the tour? And what's the tour called?
That would be awesome. Yeah, I'll holler at you guys. I'm ever in Ontario. I've been to like Montreal before. I've been to Vancouver. I've been to a couple cities in Canada, but never Ontario. But anyway, the tour is called the Are You For Real Tour. You can see all the dates on treykennedy.com/tour. We got about like 25 more cities to do to wrap up the tour here in the winter, spring, and then we'll be done.
Nice. Oh, wait, we have one more thing to do before we wrap it up. We brought you on and I believe you said this was the message. I might be paraphrasing. Hey, I don't know who you are. I don't really care, but your co-host is a teacher. So I'll come on if I get a free golf lesson. Does that sound like you?
I believe that was, yeah, my cold email to you guys. It was something along those lines.
Yeah. So Scott is a PGA professional. He is a teacher, one of the best teachers you're going to find in this area, loves coaching through and through. So I sent him your swing videos and Scott's going to give us a quick breakdown. He's looking at them right now. And then he's going to give you some like a quick lesson, things to work on over the next little while. When you head to Texas, you're going to have some different swing thoughts to think about.
Exactly. Yeah, this is great. When I agreed to this, I had no idea I was going to be ridiculed on the air. I was like, oh great, a private lesson.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same thing, right? You know?
Yeah. Here's the real comedy. We're gonna post this golf swing on our Instagram.
Yeah. So everybody can look at it.
Yeah, all the comments are like, this guy's hilarious.
Look at that golf swing. Questions for you, first of all. Struggle with a lot of shots that go to the right, obviously. Yes.
Yeah, if you're looking at my driver grip, that's why it's a very strong grip, because that is how I can hit the ball straight. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. You can make use of that. And actually, in fact, you know what? It's clear that you've done a lot of sports just because it's a fairly athletic motion. You know, it's certainly, have you done any instruction at all? Or you just kind of just done your thing on the golf course?
I think I had one lesson in like September.
Okay.
How much was that lesson? Man, wasn't it like $300?
No, it was like $120 for like an hour.
That's standard.
Yeah.
That's standard. Yeah. I won't need to know what you worked on. That's not really the point or whatever, but obviously you're still trying to work on trying to get a little bit more control, probably a little bit more power. For as much as you swing as far as speed wise, do you feel that you don't get as much out of it as you should?
Typically if I strike it well, I seem to do fine like distance wise on the driver, just at least with the people I play. Like I grew up playing baseball, so I feel like I can kind of like twist pretty easy compared to like maybe guys who didn't play. But for me it's more just like striking it well. I'm like, man, if I could just make solid contact every time, that's the main thing.
Well, I would say a couple of things that are probably going to hurt you a little bit. Just some of your lower body motion. This is more with your driver. Your irons are actually pretty good. And that's more because the golf ball is on the ground and you have to swing downward to, you know, kind of catch the ball, and we can swing a little bit left and you're okay. What I would say though, is for your, in your backswing, doing a great job as far as your upper body. And, you know, like I said, baseball experience certainly helped you. In your lower body though, love to see a little bit more pressure movement into your right foot. You tend to lean on your left foot
get your hips basically spun out a little bit, sort of tilted back towards your left foot, your lead foot.
Gotcha.
And yeah, as a result of it, if I look at your right foot, you'll see that you get rolled over on that right foot a fair bit. So what I'd like to see is your pelvis kind of turn to the right a little bit more so that you can get off that left foot and put a little bit more pressure on the right. And then what that's going to do, it's just going to help you so that you don't pull the club down and across the golf ball quite as much. Because right now,
gotcha,
that's the only thing that's hurting you of doing that. And if somebody says to you, hey, you've got to swing more from the inside or whatever, you're going to just try to keep doing that, but not change what's happening with your lower body. So
This is good, Scott. This is good.
Yeah.
Weight distribution. Who would have thought?
Yeah, exactly. So if you think about it from a baseball perspective or whatever, yeah, put some more pressure into that trail foot, right? Get your hips rotated onto that trail foot. And then at the top of your swing, then you can start to work on your forward foot. You just do it a little bit too early. And as a result of it, you get a big hip turn, but it's leaned into your forward side a little bit too much. And then that causes your arms to come down and across. So otherwise, okay, like I said, you got lots of speed there, but the problem is with that, what you're doing right now, that brings the club on a very steep angle of attack, and it comes down a little bit steeper. And that, in a combination with the loft that you're adding to the face to kind of, by having a little bit open, that'll actually create more spin with your shots. And so what this will do is, if you can get your pressure behind it a little bit more, it's going to get the club coming in a little bit more level, not down as much. And then what that's going to do is, it's going to match up the loft of the face and the direction the club is moving in. And that'll actually reduce your spin numbers by a bit. You'll actually get more distance out of it than you ever have before. Sweet. But otherwise,
seems like a good thing. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty athletic, and just keep at it, man.
Sweet. I think Jake just hit on the back foot. Athletic,
right? Yeah.
I'm athletic. I didn't hear anything wrong with my swing.
Athletic, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Jake, we really appreciate it. Send us some swings over the weekend when you're out on the golf course. We're jealous. We wish we were out there. We wish we were down in Texas playing golf, but we're not. So we're going to have to live vicariously through you. Shoot us a tag on that, and we'll maybe Scott will be back in the DMs. He'll give you some more free lessons. He loves just giving away his craft.
That would genuinely be amazing. So yeah, if I think of it, I definitely will. Thank you guys for having me on the pod, and thanks for the free public lesson, Scott.
we haven't posted the swing yet.
No, but I really appreciate it. This is fun. This is, I've never talked to golf ever, like publicly, never on my Instagram, never on stage, anything. So this is fun for me to do. That's this. Cool. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome back anytime. We'll make sure we check back in on you in a couple months, and hopefully at some point we can say, hey, we're going to check out Jake in person at some point in 2022.
Yeah. I hope he keeps his weight on his back foot while he's on stage tonight.
There we go.
Exactly.
All right, Jake, we appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jake Triplett, for that interview and fun, just a fun guy, really into golf. And if you want to hear more from him, you clearly can do that anywhere, any day of the week.
He's
everywhere.
He is everywhere. But it's always good to, have new people coming to golf and see different perspectives of the game.
Exactly. So maybe we'll have him on again in the summer. We'll check in with him, see how his golf game's going, see if those tips you gave him have helped. We will see. But golf is happening this week, as it's going to happen for the next week up until Christmas. Every single week there'll be 100 golf tournament. And this week they are at the Farmers Insurance, as we mentioned. If you haven't yet, please go check out my latest blog
on
Farmers Insurance, what I was looking for this week. And
Are you wrong so far?
I mean, I don't know if I'm wrong. One of the two ones I was really...
I guess you're never wrong. It's what you're looking for, right?
Exactly. No predictions.
Yeah.
I think Bryson early looking good. Like he's hitting it close everywhere. Just it sounds like his putter's not working. Mac, unfortunate double bogey on 18. Those are two guys that I think are coming for blood or hoping to have big weeks this week. But who knows? It's impossible to tell with these two course tournaments. But what are your thoughts about the Farmers and being at Torrey?
I mean, I like Tori. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't fall in love with the broadcast constantly going to the scenery and stuff. I'd rather see more of the golf. I've seen the scenery before. It is beautiful. It's a great spot where it's
did
at.
Did you see the tweet about the guy, the first player to take a picture of the other view?
Yes,
turned around.
Yes. And Jim Herman replied with the buildings. Yes, I know.
Yeah, with the buildings. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, people have to, they have to see this in person to really understand it, that, you know, looking west is a lot more attractive than looking east. Yeah. But I like the Farmers. I think after an event like the Amex, I think it's the first golf course that really tests the players. They're long. Obviously the South course has hosted the US Open, got lots of rough there. A couple of the coaches that I know that are down there just said, hey, you know what, there's going to be some decent rounds, but it's going to be hard to put four low rounds together. So this really kind of shows whose game is in shape and who's ready for the season, and maybe some potential too, who might be ready to contend in a major this year.
It's weird not having Tiger here again. Now, we never even brought this up. I had zero intention of talking about it on the podcast this week. What are I know the reports, but these reports of him potentially retiring at the Open Championship this year, like, do you have any thoughts on that? I don't see it happen.
There's no legitimate reports of that. So, I mean, here's the thing. He's too young to, you know, have that ceremonious send off in St. Andrews, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next little while, even for the age that he's at. Generally, most of the send offs that happen there are players that are definitely at the end of their careers. Yeah. I think there's still too much in the tank here. There's still too much potential. And, you know, on the other side of that as well, it's the 150th Open. You know, he doesn't want the attention to be on him. He is respectful enough of the game that he wants it to be on the 150th Open more than anything.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's so weird. Every time we've mentioned St. Andrews on this podcast, just like instant chills. And you and I, Nias, we need to start have a serious conversation and bring it up about whether we're going to try to make this work. It's a once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you. You're not going to be here for the 200th.
What?
I might be if I'm real lucky, and I won't be able to get on a plane to go there. So we might want to figure that one out pretty soon. But let's get to our picks first for the week.
Yeah, for sure.
We got to do that before we can even figure out a flight and everything to St. Andrews. But our picks for the week, we already got them done before. Scott messaged me earlier today and said, let's get these in. The tournament will be on by the time we do the podcast. I took Bryson after everything I said earlier and his annoyance and everything. I took Bryson. I thought, you know, similar to what I wrote in that article, was just like, he's coming for blood. This guy was in the lead going into the back nine of the US Open and shot, I think, 45. So this, you know, I expect him to be in the mix. It's day one. It's a two course tournament. You know, you really don't know until we get to Saturday.
But he did start, you know, only two under on the weaker golf course. So, which is not a good sign. So he might have scar tissue from this place as well. You know what I mean? He might be going for blood, but that means he might get overly aggressive. He might, you know, there's lots of things that can happen here for sure.
I mean, I think he's just always aggressive. That's his style now. True. Is, you know, blast it and find it and try to wedge it close. I took Bryson this week. Who'd you get?
I went with Max Homa. Traditionally he's played all right here. Southern California guy. Figure he's back to his vibe. It's too cliche to sit there and pick him for the Genesis and think that he's going to repeat there. So I decided to use him as a pick now in Southern California. And I think he'll do okay. And I think the first round he was four under, which we know already. So, you know, that's not exceptional, but I think it's tied for 20th or something so far.
I think that's our first player that is completely done now for the season. You will not hear his name being picked. I took him early on at RSM, and he had zero. Now, I did have Bryson earlier in that kind of weird, in that Bryson versus Brooks tournament. That didn't count.
That doesn't count. Yeah.
Didn't count. I wouldn't have taken him then. I would have forfeited both of them at that point. I'm not going to waste them on that tournament.
Not for $100,000.
Not for $100,000. I'll sit out the tournament. The LPGA is back this week as well.
Yeah, they are Gainbridge LPGA, which is over on the west coast of Florida. First full field event for the LPGA to start the year. Sort of full field. It's 120 players because there is limited daylight. But certainly it's going to be nice to, you know, have a look at one, the rookies that are out there. Not a lot of them that are playing, but also, you know, just a wider field than what we saw last week on the Tournament of Champions. You know, the quarters will always be in the mix here. You know, they've had past success at this tournament, even though it's a different location. It's Boca Rio now. You know, seven of the top 10 players in the world are playing as well. And that includes our Canadian Brooke Henderson. She's moved up to 10 now. She had dropped to 11th before last week.
I gotcha. I'm trying to open it. I didn't actually see. How did our girl Michelle Wee end up doing last week?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't think she was in the, I think she was kind of in the middle towards the bottom half. I don't think she really did anything exceptional and certainly didn't get much TV time. That's for sure.
Well, she's, you know, she's
a part-time player. Yeah.
Part-time player. It was a little ceremonious out there, but it's nice to see her back. And hey, if she ever gets in the mix again, that'll be exciting. The DP World Tour, also known as the European Tour, which I'm still going to call it that, is at the Dubai Desert Classic this week. Pretty decent field. We got Morikawa back over there, Hovland sticking over there, Rory. You know, the usual names as well, you know, Hatton, Westwood, all those lads. I didn't get Adam Scott, he was obviously there last week as well.
Yeah.
I didn't get a look. Did you see anything of like what's in his bag? For some reason, I'm super interested.
I don't think anything really changed. He had the directed force putter. He had his Titleist irons in there. Didn't see a change in the driver. So, I mean, as deep as I looked there wasn't much change yet. So, I wouldn't expect there would be anyways. I mean, you got to think too, even for a manufacturer, he's got some value, but I don't know if anybody's going to go out of their way to throw a, you know, pots of money at him. And would he even take that to make a change?
Yeah. He's one where that money from the, Saudi tour, you know, he's one where I wonder how much it would take to get him. Cause that's a face literally you want on all of your, on all of your stuff.
But I think you're seeing, you know, on the equipment front, you're obviously seeing more players, choosing just to, you know, in a lot of cases, put a mix in the bag. The dollars, unless you're really a top tier player, and he's not anymore, even though he is still the face and he's still well known.
Top tier swing.
Yeah, top tier swing for sure, but you know he's not there in that top 50 rankings or whatever. And I mean, we saw it even this week. I mean, I had some tweets out earlier today based on some photos last week. Some of our Canadians, Michael Gligic, switched over to PXG and his irons, but he still got a mix of Ping, TaylorMade in his woods, Titleist in his wedges. Nick Taylor's out of the TaylorMade
seemed staff to be working for the staff this week.
Exactly. Nick Taylor's moved over to Titleist for some of his products in there. But again, it's a mixed bag. They have the bag. Lots of guys will do a hat deal. It's sort of the Brooks Koepka sort of thing. They're just kind of piecing them together and just doing whatever fits for them. You know, they're comfortable. They just want equipment that's going to work for them more than anything.
Yeah, the old school Brooks Koepka. Still, that one still throws me off. But yeah, so just a couple tournaments, some good golf, and I just love what the PGA Tour is doing this week. Going the Wednesday, Saturday.
Yeah,
can't compete with the NFL. You can't do it. Especially.
No, you can't. And I guess they had to kind of look at that. I mean, obviously the Korn Ferry Tour is finishing up today. Brandon Harkins ended up winning, but that got no attention at all because obviously the PGA Tour is starting. But sometimes, you know, they eat their babies to get to the other side, I guess. And you're right.
It's an analogy.
Yeah, I know, but they can't, they certainly can't compete against the NFL. So, I mean, it's just the choice they had to make.
No, do something different. And I'm looking forward to it. I think Saturday night, you got this. You got the, you know, Hockey Night in Canada, go back and forth on a nice Saturday night. And then Sunday, you're right into, you know, the final big week for the NFL before you hit the Super Bowl. So should be an exciting weekend of sports. Can't believe I'll be getting off the couch much from 2 p.m. on Saturday until like 10 o'clock on Sunday. Just
what's the point? Cold. If it's 25 minus 25, I would be, you know,
yeah. Why minus 25 snow over my head. Why don't we hit the mailbag? I think there was some NFL related items in the mailbag this week.
There were. So we'll get right to it here. Someone asked, after the divisional weekend we just witnessed only to be ruined by a coin flip, what way would you change a golf playoff to be equally terrible?
It's a good question. I thought of a couple different ones, and some I think actually might be super entertaining. But here's a couple I came up with. One, you pick the club your player has to use the whole time. Ooh. So just, you know, whatever hole you're on, one club, you pick the opposite.
Do they have to flip a coin to see who chooses for the other one first?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's just throw a coin in there just to ruin it. Exactly. But the thing is, like, it doesn't really matter, because if you grab, say, a four iron for your partner or a driver to play the whole hole mm-hmm. with, like, is the other guy really going to do something that much different? Like, I don't know. That it's terrible. Either way, it's going to be terrible.
And that's the point.
My other thought is in, like, an NFL fashion, you flip a coin and then you go to the putting green and you're from 40 feet and it's just first to make it. And there's no you know, backup, like something like that. Either one would just be terrible. Or for last one I came up with was you stand on the tee, you grab your golf ball and you just see who can throw it further.
Why not? On that same vein, get both players on the tee, let them tee off at the same time. And run
first to finish.
So I'm sorry. There's probably some players maybe not going to do so well with the speed golf playoff.
Oh, but... Can you imagine like Tim Herron ripping down there?
Exactly. A little lumpy, rolling his way down the fairway or whatever. So
JD with the bum leg.
Oh, my God.
Blowing by them in the cart.
Let alone the caddies. Maybe you have it so that, you know, it's sort of like the caddy races at Phoenix or whatever. And you know, the caddies got to be there at the same time when they hole out. So they got to keep up with them as well. They can't kind of leave them behind or whatever. Most guys are going to take one club anyways, but yeah, that would be equally terrible. If you're in the hole first, just like you're in the end zone first and
you're still entertaining that. See that what you just came up with is the most like the closest to what the NFL did. But right. I mean, the NFL, I think there's the whole argument, like
entertaining, but not fair.
The Bills could have stopped them. Like they had an opportunity and they could have picked the other, like they could have went with heads on the coin flip too. Yeah, right? It wasn't like, I still think it's stupid, but
I think it's stupid
any too. Other ones you came up with? I have another one where it's like,
yeah,
just hit golf balls at each other and the first one to quit.
I mean, I mean, you can come up with lots of terrible ones as far as, you know, chip offs and pitch offs and stuff like that all over the place. But you know, again,
scavenger hunt.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, whatever you can figure out. But that's the extent I want to think about that one. That's for sure. All right. What's the optimal amount of golf to play to expect to get any better at golf?
I see I'll see a decrease, like anything less than like two times a week. And you really feel it, right? Like I know like once a week, like I just don't get into a rhythm. Twice a week, an ideal world, I'm playing three times a week, but unfortunately I think that has changed for a while. That's for me. But I think from a coaching perspective, you'll have a better answer, but that's just my
well, I don't know if I have a better answer or not. I mean, it's gonna vary player to player, and some people like to practice more. I mean, getting better, that's a big wide world as far as, you know, what that actually means. And I think if people need to play to have the experience of being out on the golf course and create kind of layers of memories of how to work and get away around the golf course and hit certain shots and things like that, they're not necessarily going to get on the driving range. When people say that, you know, you're not going to learn on the golf course. Well, yeah, you're going to learn on the golf course, believe me. So I would say at least once a week and maybe a practice, but if we're talking about playing, yeah, no less than at least once a week. And if you're in that phase where you're just starting to play the game, I would say at least a couple times a week. Just to get familiar with it. It takes a while to build that sort of foundation of what you know and what you experience. I mean, you know, by the time you start to play the game for 10 years, a couple times a week, you've seen a lot of situations and you kind of know how to deal with them not great, but you know, you at least you know how to expect it's them feel, or whatever.
Right?
It's there's, a feel. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So probably a couple times a week. All right. Favorite old school putter I might be able to find cheap on eBay.
For me, anytime someone asks me this, I always think of like a Ping Answer.
You knew exactly like what you're going to say.
Yeah. Like, and you can find them cheap on eBay because some people don't know. I mean, they don't have, for some reason, they don't hold their value like a Scotty Cameron has for some reason.
Well, there's
like
so, many you go to, so many of them. That's the thing.
Yeah. Right? You go to an old school Scotty Cameron and that's going to cost you an arm and a leg, right? Like there's Scotty Cameron's out there at $10,000. It's insane. Yeah. Where you can find like a Ping Scottsdale or a Ping like TR 1966. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to go too old, they're just, you know, it's regular old Answer. And you're going to find it for cheap. It's going to look great. It's going to sound great. And it's going to putt great. So that would be my go-to. You have to change your answer. You can't pick that one. You got to come with something else.
You know, if you start to think about the best putters and stuff all time, I think you also have to look at ones that were the, you know, most prevalent and sold at a lot of volume. So one other one maybe to look at would be like an Odyssey two ball, you know, another big selling,
you know, putter. I hate that putter.
I know I'm not a big fan of it either, but one of the best selling putters of all time, you know, for a mallet, and you know, away you go. Otherwise I would have picked an Answer too. I mean,
that's about like a Wilson 8802.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that as so much because, you know, while it was revered at the time they came out and for a little bit afterwards, it's not really a very effective putter for a lot of people.
No, I mean, of course.
That thing, you just miss it off the center a little bit and it smashes all over the place, left and right. Balls are flying everywhere. So I'd prefer some a little stability, even an old Ram Zebra. If you can find an old Zebra, that mallet, it's still one of the best selling ones of all time. So there's still a lot of them out there. You know, maybe somebody's, I hate to say it, maybe somebody's grandfather's passed away and there's, you know, something's available, but that's the thing. If you're going to find them cheap, it can't be something that's scarce. Whereas those older Scotty Camerons or whatever are going to be scarce. And that's why the pricing's gone up through the
roof. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton, right? Every brand, you know, you can go in, but like, I think what the cool things is that Ping did with some of those early, you know, 2010 line is when they added that kind of like, where they dampen the middle of the face. Mm-hmm. So the heel and the toe, and they all kind of worked at the same length. You can get some of those for a great price. And they have some of those ones that are with the milled face and their classic look, and they're not too expensive. So that would be my guess. That would be my go-to. Sorry.
Yeah. Bang on. All right. How many more wins will Danielle Kang win in 2022? Obviously she just won her sixth event. She's won a major. What's the ceiling for Danielle Kang in 2022?
I mean, it's
now we got 34 tournaments. We got 33 left.
Yeah, they could go back and forth. It could be like Nelly Danielle, Brooke, Nelly Danielle, all year. Like, and I wouldn't be surprised. They feel like they're on top of the game. I would set the over under at like 3.5. I think.
Wow.
More. I mean, it's crazy, but she's that good, right? Like, if she pulls. You know, I think that perfect number where it's like, if you're a betting person, right? It's like, if it was 2.5, I'm hammering that over for 3 more wins, but 3.5, it's like 5 in a year is a lot of wins.
Yeah. Considering she only has 6 already. And you've got to remember too, that win she just had was against a limited field. So, you know, there's less people to beat there. So I mean, I'd give her, I would expect she's going to win maybe 2 more, but to be safe, I'd say 1 more, really.
You're going to say 1. So I'm feeling 3. I've her and Nelly just feel they're on a different planet right now. So who knows? But again, we've seen this before. Rory McIlroy was on a different planet for a while in the early 2010s and hasn't won a major since.
You just don't know how players are going to react to having that confidence, especially early in the year. I mean, they could certainly run with it and they could feel bulletproof and away they go. And you know, but we'll see. But I would definitely not say 0. That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. All right. If you could caddy for one LPGA Tour player for a week, who would it be?
Who are you going? I'll let you go first on this one. Let's mix it up for once. Give you a chance to chat.
LPGA Tour player, who would I want to caddy for right now?
you know, it's easy to go to just kind of the usual suspects and, you know, want to pick some of the big names and stuff, but I think you got to kind of dig down a little bit and say, you know, who's be interesting to caddy for. And you know what, a player who I've actually gotten a lot more respect for lately, not that I didn't respect her before, but I found her to be a more interesting person, just following her more on social media and seeing, you know, her do some interviews and stuff like that, is Sandra Gall. And I think it would be interesting to, obviously, loads of talent. You know, I think it would be interesting just from a discussion standpoint, having caddied and been out there and seen some of the LPGA Tour players, the whole experience, and it's just like caddying in any other tour. Yep. You want somebody to spend time with, right? And I know when I caddied for Grace St. Germain on the LPGA for that event, you know, just talking to some of the other caddies and who they want people they want to chat with too and hang out with. They, you know, it's a job. They're there to do a job. They're there to make money, but they also want to have people that, you know, some days you're going to be spending 10 hours plus with.
Yeah. I think for me, that's kind of where my head went. My first thought, if that's the case, I want to have some laughs out there. Give me Mel Reed. See you later, Des. Yeah, yeah. Take a week off, bud. I'm here. And she's going to be fun. Her game's awesome. And she's like a good person.
I guess Angel Yin would be like that too. You know?
Yeah. Angel Yin's. I would love to see Patty bomb it around for a week. Yeah. Yuka Sasso.
Yeah.
If I get to watch that swing for, you know, 270, 280 times in a week, that's not a bad idea.
If she's swinging 280 times, you're not making the weekend, dude.
She, I think she averages 280 strokes. Is that what I'm seeing here?
That wouldn't be swings.
Oh, that was this week. Sorry. That is 2022.
Putting sort of plays a part in that.
Yeah, you know, screw you. I mean, there's so many out there, but like those are kind of the few where I think that, you know, you got a chance to make some good money out there while also getting to be around some pretty awesome ladies.
Yeah. All right. Last one here from a familiar face, your own sister, threw in a question here. Would you give up golf for 2 years if that meant the COVID-19 pandemic was over for everyone?
Damn, putting that on. That's a good question.
It is a good question. It's a good hypothetical.
I mean, like from an entertainment standpoint, I want to be like, no, screw it. Like I can do this for another 2. I think you kind of have no choice, do you? Yeah. Right? Like you gotta do it.
Yeah.
Right. Like I can find other ways to get involved in golf. I just can't play it. That's how I'm assuming. That's a good point. Is. So I've always said to my buddies, like, you gotta force them, just invite me to come out and I'll caddy and have beers with you. Like I can have just as much fun doing that. Probably actually have more fun because I won't have to be mad at myself for playing. So I'm saying yes, I would do it. I think we're getting there. I think I said this last time, this time of the year. I think we're close. I don't know, but I'll say yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it too. Yes. I mean, if it's not playing and, you know, maybe you can still be around the game and be involved with it in some way, you know what? I would sacrifice that for the sake of everyone else. So,
Imagine like just to go out for dinner? Like it'd be worth it. Just go out for dinner without any stress and like travel without stress, all that type of stuff. Yeah, I think it's worth it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Didn't put it long enough. 3 years we might have.
Well, you talked to her. She's your sister.
Didn't know she listened to you or followed you on Instagram to get that question.
All right, that's the mailbag this week. Thanks, everyone. Keep sending those questions in. And, you know, like Stefan's sister sent in, send the hypothetical ones. We like those, too, beyond the normal ones, for sure.
They're my favorite. All right, well, that's it for the episode. Any final thoughts, Scotty, before we wrap things up?
No, all good. Going to be a good week here, I think, at the Farmers, and good to have all the tournaments back. And then, you know, we've got some more things happening next week too, once all these big players come back from overseas. So the season will really get rolling along, and there'll still be more product introductions next week as well.
I wonder who, like, the biggest name, I haven't looked, is going to be in AT&T. It's going to be a ugly field. I think it's
Mark Baldwin.
Mark Baldwin, yeah, the top ranked player playing at the AT&T next week. I'm sure I'll go on some sort of rant next week about it. Looking forward to it. But enjoy the golf this weekend, folks. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Jake Triple, for joining us. Scotty, thank you for coming on the podcast. We'll see if you're around next week if you want to join us again. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll chat with you next week.